You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
With Susie, the first and only pharmacy-specific podcast for women, about women, hosted by women. As recently as the 1960s, women made up only 8% of all U.S. pharmacists. Today, that number has increased to over 55% of the women pharmacist workforce and 85% of the pharmacy technician workforce. With two-thirds of USD PharmaD graduates being female, these numbers are going up. Welcome to RX Talk with Susie. Your host is a pharmacist professional and educator, wife, mother, and the founder of Pharmacist Moms Group. RX Talk with Susie is part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Now, let's talk.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is Susie. Today, we are going to have a great show. I'm very excited that we have an amazing pharmacist mom on our show today, who I had the pleasure of meeting probably over a year ago at last year's APHA meeting in Nashville. So we got to meet in person. And I'm very excited to have Dr. Lolly Havern on the show today. Welcome, Lolly.
Thanks, Susie. I'm so excited to be here.
Great. So I wanted to start out by just letting everyone, can you give yourself just like a brief intro or let people know a little bit more about you?
Sure. So as you mentioned, my name is Lolly. I have been a pharmacist for 10 years now. I graduated from the Duquesne University School of Pharmacy weekend program. And following that, I've worked for Walgreens my entire pharmacy career. I started as a floater pharmacist, then became staff, did management. Then I actually went to local specialty and did that for a little bit with the residency program. And most recently, I have come into our support center. So my official title there is manager in the Office of Clinical Integrity. And basically, this means that I work in a team that reviews clinical programs, policies and procedures, education for either patients, pharmacists, providers, really anything that the company puts out that we want to make sure is clinically accurate and evidence-based. I am married to an active duty officer who is also an attorney. He's a JAG for the Air Force. And so we do move quite a bit. I've worked in, let's see what states, Missouri, Pennsylvania, Florida, Nevada, and most recently DC. So I've been around for a little bit.
Yeah,
I have two children. I have a 6-year-old girl and a 3-year-old boy. So very busy outside of work.
Yes, I can relate to that. That's always fun, always busy. So tell us some of the biggest initiatives you're working on right now with your current role.
Sure. So a lot of the stuff that I work is, to steal a word from the residency world, is longitudinal. So I'm just on projects that are really long term, and a lot of them haven't even hit the market yet. But two of the recently big ones that we did that you may have heard about, one is the Feel More Like You program, which is a collaboration between Beauty and our pharmacists with patients going through cancer treatment. And so basically it was, you know, we have specialty pharmacies. We got that part taken care of. We wanted to help the patient in a more holistic approach with other things that they were going through, like the hair loss and the skin dryness and things like that. So that's been a really big project that we just launched recently. Another one that we did was Find Care Now, which if you don't have the Walgreens app, I encourage everybody to have it because it's great in times of emergency. I can even tell you personally, 2 weeks ago, my husband was in Thailand. It's Friday night. I was home with two kids and my son just broke out in welts. And I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm a pharmacist, but when I'm in my mom mode, I like forget all of my pharmacy knowledge.
No, me too. I have tons of stories on that of things.
I just started freaking out.
Yeah.
And so I knew enough not to call the ambulance like I have done before for him because I knew it was an anaphylaxis, but it was bad. And I knew Benadryl wasn't going to kick it. So I went on the app and we have dermatology on call. I took pictures of the welts. I uploaded it. I gave him some Benadryl. I slept with him that night to make sure he was fine. And in the morning, I had a dermatologist diagnose him, send me a prescription for a steroid to the pharmacy. I mean, it was the easiest thing I've ever done.
Wow. Okay. So this is amazing. I actually have never even heard of this Find Care Now. So I'm actually looking at my phone right now. I'm like, I need to get the Walgreens app. Okay. So you get the Walgreens app to have this Find Care Now?
Yeah. And in it, I mean, that's a very small piece of it. In my area, I can actually have a doctor come to the house for $99, which I think is nothing too. Like, if you know you can't get out to the doctor, or if you're in that situation where I was home alone, you can have a doctor come to you. You can have a telemedicine consult. You can have mental health. You can talk to a therapist. I mean, there's so many options there. A new one that we just launched that I think is really great is getting a second opinion with New York Presbyterian. So, you know, if you're in a small town and you've got this grave diagnosis and you want to get a second opinion, you can just upload all your files into the app and it'll be looked at by New York Presbyterian.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Yeah, that's actually, I mean, very applicable. I remember when my dad was doing his treatment for cancer, and we were in Chicago, which is a major city, but there were so many people from rural areas that were just driving in just to get second opinion. So imagining that they could save that time and energy, that sounds really good.
We've been great with this already. Yeah, it's amazing.
No, that's great. Okay, great. So you're working on, so you've been working on both of these, I guess, that feel more like you. And also,
so our department, so we're the clinical office for Walgreens. So anything that has anything clinical into it. So the feel more like you, my colleague Emily really was instrumental in that. I know many sleepless nights that she went. So basically she looked at every single product to make sure that it was evidence-based and that it was okay to recommend to a cancer patient. Our department is four pharmacists. We have a couple nurses, a medical writer, and then we report to two directors, one who's the medical director for Walgreens. And so really, we just work on most, I would say, if not all, we should be on all projects because we just want to make sure that they're clinically accurate.
Yeah, definitely, which is important because a lot of times when patients are asking for recommendations, you want to make sure that someone else, if you don't have the time to do it, that someone else has already checked and verified this for you. So knowing that that occurs is great. Oh, no, that's great. So tell me some challenges, I guess, that you guys sometimes face related to clinical care or things that your organization might have faced or some of the solutions that you guys have developed regarding this thing.
Sure. So, and I'm sure I'm not, you know, we're not alone in this, but I think the big buzzword around is the interoperability of our systems, right? We have systems that don't talk to anybody. We have EHRs. Everyone has their own EHR. We have our own system, and it just, there's no collaboration within the healthcare system. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think that's just frustrating for everybody. I just got certified in pharmacogenomics, and it's amazing. It's really exciting stuff. And I have my results on a piece of paper in my office, and I'm pretty sure that if I go to the doctor tomorrow, I'm not going to remember to bring that list. Right. Or the results. And
right.
So you have all this great information, but you can't use it.
I found that a lot, actually. I used to be an AmCare pharmacist, and so there were patients who would bring in their genetic testing too, or they would say they would do it, but then again, it was like the applicability or using it too is sometimes more difficult too. So that's interesting.
That different companies are testing different things. So it's not even so, like, even if you do get the information, did they test for the right gene? And it's getting really complicated.
No, definitely. Definitely. I actually worked in a GYN clinic, and there were so many patients that, you know, a certain birth control wouldn't work for them or another one. And we had such a difficult time trying to find which test actually tested for different estrogens. And it was so difficult to find the pharmacogenetic test that actually would do that. We need to have somewhere where everything's kind of listed and in one space. That, I guess, that would be very ideal, but that would definitely help patients' outcome.
And from what I've heard, it's coming. So that was one of the big sessions at APHA, and they said that the standardization of the testing and that it is coming, so I'm hopeful. But for right now, that's, just another big barrier. So one of the things that I think Walgreens is doing is creating partnerships. For instance, we have LabCorp in a lot of our pharmacies. And so ultimately, I think the hope is that we can at least have those systems talk to each other. So at least we can get some lab values, which are always helpful in doing prior authorizations or even counseling, just to be able to talk to a patient like, oh, here's where your A1C was 6 months ago and look where it is now. And so even that just would help.
Exactly.
So I think that's a good example of something that we're doing to try to bridge that.
Definitely. Even to see with MTM, if a medication is actually working, if someone's A1C has been the same and they've been on the same meds for 3 years, then maybe, you know, something needs to change.
Yeah, that's something that's not always caught at the doctor's, but if we had the labs, we could catch that during an
MTM. Exactly. So labs are definitely critical. So I know you're really involved in APHA. I did mention that, you know, that's where we officially met last year, but why don't you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what you've done with APHA, and I hear you're running for office this year too. So why don't we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So I'm running for the coordinator elect position of our medication management SIG. And so I'm not sure if you're familiar with all the SIGs of APHA, but we have about 10 of them. There's diabetes, immunizations, transitional care. There's a new one, underserved populations. And so the one that I've been involved with for the past 2 years is medication management, specifically the business review committee of it. And so we're really looking at ROIs of doing MTM. We came out with some great toolkits. One is actually still in publication, so it should be out shortly, but really trying to get that pharmacist, that information when they go to their boss or to their corporate offices to say that this is a sustainable service if done correctly. Because we're finding, you know, we were doing well with it for a while and then we kind of fell off the grid. And so we're trying to get that MTM usage up. And I started, let me see. So the way I started is I just started volunteering within a committee. And so very minimal time commitment. It was maybe 1 hour a month you would go on this call and just talk to other committee members about whatever hot topic or anything like that. And then I just decided I wanted to get more involved. And so I ran for a co-chair position on one of the committees. And I did that for a year. And then this year I sort of took the leap to run for this national election. So we'll see how that goes.
But I'm excited. My big point, everyone has to go for you.
Thank you. Yes, just a little plug. Email will just go out this week. So you have until May for any APHA members to vote. And please let me know if you have any questions. I'm not just asking for your vote. I'd be more than happy to talk to you and get some ideas going. But really my biggest piece that I want to talk about APHA is that you can get involved in the smallest way or in the biggest way that you want possible. And when I graduated, I was very involved as a student in the Academy of, you know, ASP. But then I don't know what happened. I just stopped. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure people do that. And, you know, babies happened and moves happened. And now that I'm back, my biggest, it's not a regret because things happen for a reason. I really believe that. But I really wish I would have stayed.
Of course.
And even if it wasn't running for things, because I probably couldn't have when I was going through IVF and having babies, but even if I would have at least stayed a member and read up on things, I think I would have been more engaged to even the profession.
Definitely. I mean, I think so many people can relate to that. And I think actually a lot of the pharmacist moms can relate to that. I know, including myself. So I was really involved as a student. I was in quite a few pharmacy organizations and I continued them during my residency. And then it was like, after that, you just get busier. Yeah. Life kind of goes on. You get married, you have kids, and what I found even with myself was then all of a sudden years later, I was like, wait, I need to reconnect with some of these organizations that I was involved with and, you know, what happened. And I think that what's been really nice with the Pharmacist Moms group is that we're kind of able to all connect at any point in our careers. But I think that I would agree. It's, you know, how can one get involved or what, you know, how to start, you know, is probably a lot easier than one would think. But sometimes I know for myself, I was always worried about the time commitment, especially when I had young children. Well, what does that mean? And how much time? So I think, you know, your recommendation of starting out on one small committee that might only be 1 hour a week is
1 hour a month.
One hour a month. Sorry,
if I said 1 hour a week. No, I didn't mean
you
that.
You didn't. I messed up. No, 1 hour a month. You did say that. So 1 hour a month. I think that's perfect. But if you want to do 1 hour a week, that's even better.
That's fine too. And if you don't want to join the calls, that's fine too.
Yeah.
You know, I've had people say, I just want to be a worker bee. Just tell me what to do. I want to get published. I want to have my name out there, but I don't have time for calls. I work, you know, my hours are crazy. Totally fine. So we would just email her, can you write half a paragraph on this topic? And she loved being our worker bee.
Yeah, exactly. Really,
and on the other side, you know, I also want to say that it's never too late too. So I don't want to get down on myself because I didn't do it. Like, at least I'm doing it now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know Mary Alice Bennett. So she's what I consider pharmacy royalty. She was past APHA president. She's a accreditation surveyor for residencies now. And during our accreditation afterwards, I just made a comment to her about how, oh, she talked about kids. I'm like, how do you do this with, I think she has four children or something like that. And she just looked at me and started laughing. She's like, really? She's like, this is all after I had children. Like, I started work when they left the house. Yeah. And that to me was so validating. Like, that's amazing. The fact that she could do so much with her career and it was after her kids were grown. So that to me was just.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, exactly. Because I think sometimes, especially when you have young kids, you don't realize that they are eventually going to grow up and then you, you know, you're going to get your life back. I was actually watching, I was at DIA last week and I was watching, the TV in my hotel room. It had like live with Kelly and Ryan with Seacrest, and they were talking. Kelly was talking about how she was going to be an empty nester soon, and she's just like, I don't even know what I'm going to do with myself. She's like, what do you do as an empty nester? And it's like, you know, because when you're raising your kids, you don't even realize like how much can be done actually, and how much more time you will have again for your career. And that's the beauty of pharmacy, really, is that so many women are able to. Work part-time throughout their careers. I was looking at some literature the other day and it was talking about how I want to say like only 6% or 9% of women start out their career at part-time. But then in their mid-career, in their 30s and 40s, there's about 36% of women are working part-time in some sort of part-time capacity, which was equivalent to 32 hours or less. So it was really interesting. And then they all go back. Yeah.
Yeah, like that's kind of, that was always my thought too. I just feel like I found a position that works for me and I just, you know,
went
in a direction. But that was definitely one of my thoughts for doing pharmacy. Although it is in my family, I don't think I had any other choice.
Oh, no way. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's a great profession too. So yeah. I know that you were you spearheaded the Women Pharmacist Day last year with Walgreens. And I wanted to ask, you know, how did you guys celebrate last year and how will you guys be celebrating this year for this upcoming Women Pharmacist Day?
I did. I was actually really excited about that last year. So last year we did a broadcast with one of our top VPs in pharmacy. Her name's Rena Shaw. Mm-hmm. And again, just one of very inspiring women leaders that we have in our company. And she just gave a very great heartfelt talk to all the women pharmacists that day. Mostly talking about some stats, you know, even though it's 55% women in the healthcare, in the pharmacy field at Walgreens, it's actually 63%.
Oh, wow. So amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I actually went to pharmacy school with her, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone in Chicago, I feel like you guys all know each other.
Yeah.
UIC.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's amazing. But one of the things that she talked about, just really, I guess, personal, you know, when she goes to a meeting, she's usually the only woman. And so almost like a call to action to the women pharmacists, like, we need you up here.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really, really inspiring. And so we did that. We used your Twitter backgrounds and, you know, we encouraged all the field pharmacists to tweet out pictures and just did like a social media burst that day. Twitter, our Walgreens Twitter account also did a big burst in showing women pharmacists, which I thought was really exciting. And so we also announced that we are going to be bringing one of our business resource groups called Women of Walgreens into the field. And so we are currently working on that. We hope to have it out very, very soon. And with that, we're going to have mentorship programs. So the way I see it is maybe, you know, having an older pharmacist in the profession with a new grad that they can maybe mentor them, or a specialty pharmacist versus a non-specialty pharmacist that maybe wants to get involved in specialty. And so we're going to offer these mentorship programs as a way to try to empower women and get more women up into corporate, into these leadership positions.
Definitely. Great ideas. Those are all great ideas. I think, you know, leadership is really where women, I think we still need to have a bigger presence in pharmacy. So you're absolutely correct. We make up the majority of pharmacists and Even for the past four decades, I think women have graduated at higher rates, but they're really lagging. I know for me, because I worked in academia for so long, I know that only 25% of pharmacy school deans are female. So yeah, the majority of deans are still male, and the majority of leadership in pharmacy is still male. So I think that we can do a lot more for women in pharmacy.
I agree.
So great. So I really am so happy that you were able to come on the show. I would love to have you on future episodes talking more about, you know, some of the things that excite you about the future of pharmacy, or just, you know, other topics that we didn't have a chance to cover today, but we can definitely cover in the future.
Absolutely. I'd love to come back on and update you on our Women of Walgreens business related group. So that would be a great topic to talk about next time.
Perfect. Thanks again. And if anyone, remember, if they want to vote for you, where do they do it and how do they do it? If you want to just give one last.
Sure. So they should have received an email. I'm sure APHA will send it out a couple more times. Voting does close in May, so we have a couple months here. But just look for the email. It does come from Election Services, not APHA. So if you want to do a search on your mail, do Election Services, and you will see the ballot.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you for listening to RX Talk with Susie. Please share this podcast on all your social media outlets and help us reach other women in pharmacy. Be sure to check out our website. Go to pharmacistmomsgroup.com.